We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to know who was in attendance at Game 3 and Game 4? And no, I'm not talking about E-40. I'm talking about somebody who's actually worn the uniform. Oakland's own. And still, let's be honest, the Warriors' own. Juan Toscano-Anderson, JTA, joins us right now here on Willard and Dibs. JTA, how you doing, man? It's great to hear your voice.
What's going on? I'm doing very well, man. Enjoying my off season so far. Got to catch some good games up at home, so all good things so far. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing so good. And I like, this is the first question I have for you. Now, as a member of a different NBA team, what brings you still to the Warrior games in this situation?
There's two parts. I mean, obviously, I'm from there, so I was back home. Caught some games. I mean, I'm a lifelong Warrior fan, so even though I'm not on the team there, competition, I'm still a fan. But secondly, and probably most importantly, just the environment that they create. It's like once a Warrior, always a Warrior. So, I mean, they welcome me back with open arms. You know, just come and they hosted me very well. You know, I have a lot of great things to say about my visit back home. So it was a lot of fun.
What was your pulse like and your heart? Because all of us watching on TV, those of us who couldn't be there, that game got crazy. Steph calls timeout. They don't have any. The Kings on a 4-0 run on one possession. What were you thinking watching that whole thing unfold?
I mean, it was an exciting game. That's what playoff basketball is. I was very surprised by, the mistake, but they pulled it out, and that's what good teams do. And so, Sacramento Kings are a really good team as well, but after watching game one, I did the post game with Festus, Bonta, and Mully, and I said, this team is capable of running four off in a row. Now, is that going to happen? No, but they are very well capable of, and so they kind of making me look good, with my remarks, winning two at home. So, they just got to go on the road and handle business, but they're very capable of doing that. They're a championship-caliber team, well-coached, and amongst many other things.
JTA, I'd be very interested in your X's and O's analysis here. Not so much, can they win four in a row, championship DNA. We know those things, but now that you've watched four games and you're someone who played against these teams this year, break down what you see that's happening in this series, and therefore what you might think is going to happen next.
Well, they're putting together, certainly the Warriors, they're putting together some really good defensive, segments. And I think that's what you have to do when playing against the Kings. Obviously, they score at a very, high clip. So that's what I've seen when I was back at home. I'm really impressed with, Dante DiVincenzo, with Draymond being out. I think he really stepped up to the plate. And I'm not talking numerically. He made a lot of big plays that don't really show up in the stat sheet. Like I said, with Draymond and GP being out. So I have to commend him for that. And obviously Loon, I've just been looking at the box score, and it's like Loon's like 12-plus rebounds, 10-plus rebounds. He's been dominating. That's become like a regular thing for him. But 20 rebounds in a playoff game, is big time. So they're just dominating certain facets of the game, making it tough for D-Fox. But still, eliminating some other guys. They eliminated Keegan Murray from one game. I can't remember what game that was. He had 1 point. He's a really big part of what they do, the Kings do offensively, knocking down open threes, amongst many other things. So I mean, there's so many different parts of the game that I saw, but those are some key things that stand out. You know, D-Fox is going to get his numbers, but if you can make it tough for, you know, all the supporting cast around him, then you have a really good chance of beating the Sacramento Kings.
Let's go back to Loon for just a moment, and only 14 rebounds yesterday, which, I mean, what a big disappointment.
Only?
I know, he's only averaging 17, JT, over his last two, but what is Loon like in terms of the way he approaches the game, and maybe tell our listeners a little something about Loon that you know as his teammate that the fans don't really appreciate.
I mean, it's like Groundhog Day, you know, for Loon. Every day is the same. He's never too high, too low. He's just like that. I mean, I've seen some, you know, interviews that Steve has done and, you know, spoken, you know, very highly of Loon, and I have to, you know, piggyback on that. Loon is the ultimate teammate. Like I said, never too high, never too low. You know, he's somebody you can kind of count on when you need some balance in your life, when you need to, like, you know, settle down, you know, emotionally, on the court, off the court. He's a really great friend. He brings so many things to the table outside of, you know, just basketball. So, like I said before, I'm very glad that he's getting his flowers because he definitely deserves it. And, you know, he's been a very vital part of, you know, this championship success that the Warriors have had. You know, I don't think it would be too crazy to, you know, one day possibly see Loon's number be retired, you know, up there in the Raptors.
Hmm.
So, how many championships does Loon have? Three, four, maybe?
Yeah.
No, so
three.
I mean, three. That's still a lot. And to be a part of this dynasty. So it is great to see, man. Loon's a great guy. He's the ultimate teammate. I think the Warriors have really gotten a steal, you know, with Loon because he deserves so much more. So I'm really happy for him.
Juan Toscano-Anderson is here with us on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. JTA, you mentioned a bit ago how surprised you were with the mistake the Warriors made there in that final minute. I'd love the players' perspective, because Steve Kerr said, no, my fault. I forgot to remind them. But what responsibility is on a player in that situation to know what the timeout situation is?
I mean, I think the responsibility is on everybody. That's why you have communication with the team. Sometimes as players, and I can't speak for Steph, I don't know, but sometimes we get lost in the moment. Sometimes we get so excited, we forget to look at how many timeouts are left or, you know, shot clock or where we're standing, et cetera. I mean, there's so much happening on the floor. So I think collectively it's everybody's fault. And, you know, they still pull the game out, so big deal, whatever, it's come and gone. But I think that's on everybody. Everybody has to, you know, take some accountability in that part, even whether you're on the bench or whether you're playing. Everybody should be communicating those things, but sometimes it happens, you know, and it is what it is. Like I said, they still pulled the game out and got the win. So whether it's an ugly win or a pretty win, a win is a win.
Oh, yeah, it starts with W and it ends with N, and it's just is so good. You're right, Juan, depending on how you want to look at it. So two games for the Kings at home, two games for the Warriors at home, everyone hold and serve. What do you think of the final three games, most particularly Game 5 in Sacramento? Do the Warriors have any momentum, or does it not exist in a series like this?
I think they do have momentum, but also, you know, the Kings are a really good team. They were the number, what seed were they? Number two, number three?
Three seed. Yeah.
They've been in the top of the standings all season long, and, you know, that's for a reason, because they've been winning games, but more importantly, they've been handling business at home. You can't be, one of the higher seeds if you don't win games at home. And so it's really hard to say, because I feel like speaking so highly of the Dubs, I would be, you know, dismissive of, you know, what the Kings have done and what Mike Brown has done and what they're capable of as well. However, I just saw today that D-Fox may not, you know, be playing. So, I mean, you know, with that type of blow to their offense and their team and, you know, the momentum the Warriors have right now, the experience, most importantly, that they have, Game 3 is very winnable. And, you know, once you win Game 3, you go back home, and we all know what the Warriors look like at home. So, I mean, a lot of these games have been must-win for the Warriors. I think Game 3, no matter what happens, is a must-win for either team. whoever wins this next game, I think, is going to win the series.
Interesting. That's an interesting comment. Juan, I wonder this. You know, you're a guy who certainly was not afraid, is not afraid to mix it up down low with everything going on in an NBA game. We've seen Draymond get suspended. We've had talk about Dylan Brooks, Joel Embiid, everything. There's so many eyeballs on this one subject. What are your thoughts on it and the way that it's being handled?
I mean, I don't know how to approach that question because I don't want to end up with a fine or something.
Right.
But I don't know if Draymond should have been suspended. Maybe. I don't even think he should have been ejected, honestly. I think if I'm a ref, I'm looking at, you know, the instigator, who started it, and, okay, how's the response, you know, how it could be perceived amongst many other things. So I probably would have just, you know, gave him a flagrant one and, you know, warning and, you know, let them continue to play. I mean, everybody knows playoff basketball is chippy. You know, everybody's trying to win. So some plays are dirty. I'm not too into, like, non-basketball plays. But, you know, sometimes it's, you know, there's a saying, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. So I feel like sometimes guys end up on the, you know, wrong end of the stick when, you know, they are trying to aggravate somebody or, you know, doing certain things. You know, but there have been some plays on both sides of, you know, the ball from both teams that have been like, you know, that's a hard foul or this, that, and the third. So, I mean, it is what it is. You know, you got to play hard, you know, to win. I just don't respect, you know, the fouls that could potentially injure a player. You know, we want to keep it clean, keep it tough, but, you know, keep it basketball, most importantly.
Yeah, how do I know you're talking about Dylan Brooks without you mentioning the name Dylan Brooks? That's kind of, I'll go ahead and take that one for you, JT. Hey, Juan Toscano-Anderson here on 95.7 The Game. You played with Steph. You spent some time with LeBron this year. What do those two super megastars have in common, and how are they maybe a little bit different?
They both in common their approach to the game. I mean, just from a mental standpoint, most importantly, you know, their preparation, you know, the way they take care of their bodies, and, you know, the way they work out as well is just different. You know, these guys, they're the best in the world, some of the best to ever play this game for a reason. They're very great leaders. You know, I commend them both for how much they take on. You know, from just the weight of the world, a media standpoint, you know, expectations of them. That's hard to do, you know, to be so good at something, you know, arguably the best at something for so long. So it's been a pleasure, you know, to share experiences with both those guys, to call both those guys a friend. You know, I have a lot of admiration for them as basketball players and as businessmen and as black men. So, like I said, it's been a delightful experience, you know, to share the court with those guys.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on Twitch, YouTube, and the free Odyssey app. And we're talking with JTA, Juan Toscano-Anderson. Okay, so within the last calendar year, you've played on both those teams. If they play each other in the next round, who you got?
Come on, man. You really asking me that question?
Yeah, I'm really asking you that question.
Well, that's an easy answer for me. I mean, I'm a Warriors fan, man. I'm from Oakland. You know, the Warriors are my team. I got a lot of great relationships with a lot of people in that organization. Not that I don't have great relationships, you know, with people at the Lakers, but I was able to spend much more time within the Warriors organization. You know, I spent 3 seasons up top, 2 seasons in Santa Cruz. So, you know, a lot of people that I spend time with in Santa Cruz are now up top with the Warriors. So it's a different bond, you know. And then, you know, being at home, it's just much different. So I think I've pretty much answered your question with that one.
No doubt, Juan.
Yes, sir.
And that's not surprising to me. I remember covering your games at Castro Valley High. I actually did play-by-play when you took on San Leandro. And so for me, proud to see how far you've come. But I looked at your bio. You're 30, JTA, 30 years old. I mean, have you had a chance to really take a moment to reflect on just your journey from 95th all the way to Castro Valley and Montero Middle and now into the NBA?
You know what? As of lately, I've been doing that. Because now it's kind of like I'm on the outside looking in, you know, And when I say outside looking in, I'm not in the playoffs, and I'm watching all the teams, you know, compete. And so it's given me time to reflect and given me time to just slow my life down and just, you know, be thankful for, you know, everything that's transpired over the last 5 years. You know, everything happened so quick for me. So I wasn't, you know, and, you know, going home, playing at home, it was a big whirlwind of emotions for myself, for my family, friends. Every time I was able to see somebody, it was like, it was the first day all over again because everybody was so excited for me and I was excited for myself. So as of lately, I have been able to do that. I'm actually going to take a vacation in the next few days, and then I'll see how I feel after that, after, you know, giving it some thought, no phone, no interaction with people, and just enjoying the off time that I have.
Couple things on that, JTA. So you're reflecting on, it almost sounds like making a decision. What are your thoughts? I know you're a free agent. What are your thoughts on what's next?
Well, I don't really know yet. Free agency starts in July. I mean, I'm open to great situations, healthy situations, you know, situations I enjoy. Like you said, I'm 30 now. I'm getting a little older, so I just want to enjoy my journey. You know, you never know when your career will come to an end, whether that's by, you know, injury or just by, you know, not getting a contract. So, I mean, I would be open to, you know, a lot of different things without being too specific. But, you know, I'm just going to remain optimistic, stay in shape, and, you know, be ready when, you know, the opportunity presents itself from another team or Utah, if Utah decides to retain me.
And then the Oakland roots that you always speak of, and we noticed the hat that was on your head during game three, an Oakland A's hat. What are your thoughts on what is currently taking place with that franchise?
It sucks. I mean, you know, I look at it from two different perspectives. I look at it from a perspective, you know, from an Oakland native, and, you know, I still have residency in Oakland. All my family still lives in Oakland. You know, the Oakland A's, the Raiders, and the Warriors have been everything to us, as I'm sure, you know, other sports teams are for people in other cities. So it sucks. You know, the teams being there provide a lot of, you know, entertainment, jobs. It helps the economy in Oakland. You know, keeps kids, you know, having something to look forward to do, go to games, try to stay out of trouble, you know, some positive role models in the city. So that part sucks, seeing them leave. However, you know, being in the business, around the business, understanding that we live in a capitalist world, that pretty much everything is about business and about money. So I understand. I mean, if I was the owner of a sports team or a CEO, I would look for the best opportunity for my business to thrive. Unfortunately, you know, the A's, the Raiders have not felt like that's been in the Bay Area, you know, or Oakland. So it's unfortunate, but I get it. You know, there's two sides to the coin, so I'm upset about it, but like I said, I understand, I get it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat, having lived in Oakland for 20-plus, but if the A's do wind up in Vegas, do you still ride with the A's, or do you become a fan free agent at that point?
You know what, man, I said that about the Raiders. After they left to Vegas, I didn't watch one NFL game for a whole year, but I couldn't see myself rooting for another team. So I gave in. I'm a Raider fan at heart. So it doesn't really matter to me anymore. So to answer your question, no, I will never root for another baseball team. I'm Oakland A's and Warriors till I die.
Love it.
Yeah, so Garoppolo, right? You know what I'm saying?
Am I right?
Hopefully, you know, he can do some good things for us. I'm excited about it. Hopefully everyone else is. I think, you know, the Raiders are a dope-ass organization, you know, black and silver, get to play in Vegas, got the best fans in the world, new stadium, so a new arena. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully he can do some great things for us.
JTA, man, so much fun to catch up with you. By the way, your teammate Lauri Markkanen was just, like, literally moments ago, was named the NBA's most improved player. What do you think about that?
Oh, man, I'm so excited for him. He deserves it. You know, like I told him when I got to Utah, it's crazy, you know, the narrative that people, you know, make of you. And sometimes kids don't, you know, get a chance. I mean, I think that young man is 25. You know, when he was in Cleveland and in Chicago, people were saying he was a bust. And now he's killing, you know, all-star. So He's well deserving of it. He's a great guy, has a lot of talent. I think he can really, you know, take the Utah organization to new heights. And so I'm really excited to be playing alongside of he as well. You know, I've been very lucky to, you know, share the court with some great talent. So, you know, congrats to Laurie. I'll have to shoot him a text and say congratulations.
JTA, nice. Man, I can just tell you, we have a our YouTube feed has a little chat window. And my gosh, the people listening to this show right now are sending you so much love. They love hearing your voice. You're always one of us. And so I just want to speak for all of them and pass that along to you as well. And thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Oh, man. Well, you know, send my regards to them, everybody in the Bay, Warriors fans. You know, when I was a part of Dub Nation, well, I won't even say those words. I am still a part of Dub Nation as a fan. But, you know, when I played there, it was amazing. And so thank you to all them for all the love and support. I appreciate it.
Warriors for life is what they're saying, JTA, and that's the sentiment from all of us.
For sure.
Hey, man, thank you so much, JTA.
All right, I appreciate y'all for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.